Hello, welcome to Foreign Matters. A bit personal, a bit long. Bear with me, I will get to the point. In the 1970s, I stood on the terraces at Leeds United versus West Ham United games. Around me, several thousand men used to chant, "Zigga, zagga, zigga, Clyde Best is a..." You can fill in the gap. As a young teenager, I never joined in this racist chanting, but nor did I do anything about it. Clyde Best was a fine Bermudian and West Ham striker, and he was one of the first black players to grace the highest levels of English football. By the 1990s, I could stand at Leeds games and hear thousands of men around me chanting "Yeboah" in tribute to the excellent Ghanaian and Leeds striker Tony Yeboah. There were also a few Leeds men who, in response to each "Yeboah," would chant "Banana." However, by now, a grown man in a different era, I was confident enough to remonstrate with the racists to the approval of some of the fans around me. In this decade, I have yet to hear any racist chanting from Leeds fans. If you talk to supporters of any club around the country, there is widespread, albeit not universal, disapproval of instances of racism within the beautiful game. I say widespread but not universal, because to think the racists have gone would to be naive. But the difference is their number and how vocal they think they can be. What has changed? Britain has changed. This brings us to Russia and the alleged racist abuse of Yaya Toure by CSKA Moscow fans this week, about which there is now a UEFA inquiry. Russian society has not gone through the changes experienced by Britain. Apart from Moscow and St. Petersburg, you can go for several days in many Russian cities without seeing a black face. This is not to say that Russians are racist towards black people. Often they will simply be curious. But there are, without question, serious, violent, racist and ultra-nationalist elements in Russia. It's a multi-ethnic state. Approximately 15% of its population is Muslim, and the slightly darker-skinned Muslim Russians from the North Caucasus are easily identified when they move to European Russia for work. They and the much-needed migrant workers from countries such as Tajikistan bear the brunt of racist attacks in Russia, but black people are also targeted. Under communism, the free movement of peoples was banned, and there was little interaction between different parts of what is a vast country. Thousands of foreign students, many from Africa, were invited to study in Russia, but not in numbers which made any real difference to the mainstream culture. The ultranationalism of the far-right gangs springs from the deep well of Slavic nationalism, the relative isolation of Russia from other cultures, the relatively recent influx of foreigners, and the social problems many poor young Russians face. Racism is given its most public expression in Russian football, and it has yet to be seriously tackled by the football authorities there. The country has not had the long, painful national discussion undertaken by the British body politic because it's not had the same experience. Some of the young men throwing bananas at players or making monkey noises will see these activities as simply another form of abuse of an opposing player. Those who do understand exactly what they're doing do so in the knowledge that the cultural climate around them allows them to get away with it. The football clubs and governing bodies do not do enough to stamp out racism, and UEFA's response to incidents in Russia and many other countries has been to hand down token fines. The Russian media and public opinion does not come down really hard on examples of racism in football, and given the level of intimidation at some Russian games, it's unlikely ordinary fans, untainted by racism, would feel confident enough to speak out. Little wonder, then, that the 2012 public manifesto of the Zenith FC's ultra fans was confident enough to state the following. "We're not racists, but we see the absence of black players at Zenit as an important tradition. It would allow Zenit to maintain the national identity of the club, which is the symbol of St. Petersburg." It goes on. "We only want players from our other brotherly Slav nations, such as Ukraine and Belarus, as well as from the Baltic states and Scandinavia." More and more black players, mostly from Africa, are coming into this atmosphere, following a trend which began about 7 years ago. The money's good, they get a chance to play at a decent level, and they put themselves in the shop window for clubs from Western Europe. All are abused, both on and off the pitch, and many leave for that reason. Andre Baihi, a Cameroonian who played for Lokomotiv Moscow, told the Sunday Mirror in 2010 that there was racism towards black players in the stadiums, but I was physically attacked in the street more than once. Life can be difficult for a black person in Russia. Mr. Baihi escaped to England to play for Reading. The headlines generated by the Touré allegations are part of the process which may end up with the Russian authorities at many levels in different walks of life understanding they need to get on top of the issue. It took the British decades. It remains a work in process. The Russians host the World Cup in 5 years' time. That's Foreign Matters. See you next time.